we have to practice being positive. We have to practice having a good perspective. We've got to work at the things in life, even if we're given a positive perspective. Let me tell you that every day I work on good habits, right? I'm all about, you know, good habits displacing bad habits. I love James Clear, Atomic Habits, getting 1% better every day. Before I get out of bed every morning, I do three things.
Welcome to Helping Organizations Thrive. Today, I have the pleasure of Russ Hedge on the show. Good to see you, Russ.
Hey, Julian. Awesome to see you. Thank you so much. What an honor to be on your show. It's a great day.
It's great. I was on your live stream show as well, and so it almost seemed fitting to have you on, but also what you've got to share about. I'm going to come to that later on, but just to introduce you to the audience, you are an international best-selling author. You've got three books out there. I think one behind you, The Befuddled, as one behind you there. You're a marketing coach, you're a keynote speaker, you're a live stream producer. And what I love, and you've titled yourself today as Inspiration Specialist. And so we're looking for some inspiration for you today. And we're going to be exploring your cancer journey and how you navigated it from a resilience point of view. And I don't want people to sort of turn off at home now or wherever you're listening to this right now. But there's some real lessons here in the context of how we manage and difficult, whether that's personal setbacks or even business setbacks, and how you can overcome that and use some of the lessons that Russ is going to share today. I don't know entirely what they're going to be, but they're going to be lessons, lots of wisdom, lots of insights. But before we go into that, Russ, what do you love about what you do?
Well, Julian, I love people, and I think you've already realized that. I love people and building community. So I'm all about connection and community building. And because I feel like that when it comes to business, that is the foundation of any good business, any good marketing plan. Zig Ziglar says you build the people and then the people build your business. So without people, you don't have any business. But I go even further than that. Without good people, you don't really have a good life. You need to surround yourself, just like Jim Rohn says, you are the average of the five people closest to you. So you need to get around good people like you, Julian, that I hang out with, and be able to up your game every day. And I just love it. I don't think I could ever actually completely stop from what I do, just because I love people so much.
Yeah, I love that. And I think people have got to realize the impact that having a community around you is so powerful. And it's one that I talk about a lot in terms of building a resilient life and a resilient organization. You need a community. You need people like-minded, people for you, people to challenge you and stir you and all that sort of stuff. So it is important. And likewise, it's good to have you around me as well, because you are an inspiration, and we're going to hear some of that. And I'd like to almost go back, have almost a brief overview of your cancer journey, your diagnosis, what happened, and just how initially it impacted your life.
Yeah, you know, very interesting, because I am, you mentioned the books that I'd written. You know, my initial book, Befuddled, Live the Life You Choose. I'm all about living the life you choose. And if you want to know more about that, read my book, but it comes oozing out of me all through that. But my last three books that I've written, and the one that I'm writing now, either cover my cancer story or at least touch on it. The Rattled Awake, Volume 1, and the A Note to My Family. This is my legacy that we wrote just about Christmas time. And those were international bestsellers, like you said, but they were all around the cancer journey that I went through and how it affected me and my life. I'm a big believer, you can't separate you from your life. I know people that tell me, well, I just separate my personal life from my business. And I'm like, well, you can't really do that, because if you're in your business, your personal life goes with you to your business. Now, I understand not giving everybody all the gory details about your life sometimes, you know, but there's certain things we don't want to know. But, you know, as far as what you take to each day of your life, each moment, to your job, to your family, to your friends, and this is where my cancer journey comes in, because first off, I was blessed with amazing parents and an amazing childhood growing up. And so really blessed. And my mama was my inspiration, as far as I am my mama's son. She was outgoing, happy, joyful. And so I got that. So I got a running start on a good attitude and a good perspective. But when I've hit life challenges head on, that has always been so key for me. First was in a, my latest book, I'm just writing a series of events. First, I was in a tragic, almost fatal car accident at 19. Had to be flown lifelike to a hospital, barely survived. By the grace of God, I did. Then my parents both passed. My dad of lung cancer, my mom of Alzheimer's, and had to deal with all of that. And then I was suddenly hit with cancer. And the question you asked was, how did I deal with that? Especially when you first find out, it's very shocking. When they use the big C word and your life is suddenly flashing before your eyes, and it takes time to adjust. I mean, let's be serious. It doesn't matter how positive you are. You go through moments where it's not good, you know? And so, but my dad always told me tomorrow's a new day. And I'll tell you, the night I found out that my cancer had actually elevated from where it started to another area of my body, and it was treatment necessary and maybe more surgery and all these things ahead of me, I was really hit hard. But I remembered tomorrow's a new day. And I got a good night's sleep that night, believe it or not, in the midst of all that. Woke up the next day, and it was a new day. I had a new perspective, and my new perspective told me life's going to keep moving. Life's going to keep going forward. How are you going to deal with this? How are you going to persevere and go through this? Because I'm going to live, and I'm going to choose the life that I want. And my doctors told me from the get-go that was my number one best quality, was my positive attitude, helping with my healing and moving forward. So that is kind of the story of the beginning of that. And do you want me to carry on anymore?
Or? Well, no, it's interesting how that simple, or you call it a reframe or a different way of thinking, you know, tomorrow is going to be a better day, enabled you to think differently and to take the shock of having something like the big C. And people might be facing, perhaps not cancer, but might be facing, you know, a personal setback or a challenge in their business that has just completely rocked them. You know, might have lost a big client, anything that causes an emotional sort of reaction. You found that really helpful, that reframe. Is there anything else that you, from your own learnings and through going through cancer, or surviving cancer, that enables you to sort of manage those, I suppose, emotional roller coasters that get thrown at us?
Yeah, I think every time that I'm a big believer that God allows things to happen in our life to make us stronger. And I've had a lot of things happen throughout my life that have made, I look back and I think I couldn't have dealt with, or I wouldn't have dealt as well with the situation later in life had it not been for something I went through earlier in life. And really, honestly, if you look at it, the cancer journey was really a blessing in disguise. There's a lot of good things that came out of that. I'm a firm believer that God works all things for the good. I'm a firm believer that, you know what, there's good in everything. You just have to look harder sometimes. And it allowed me to inspire, you know, my inspiration specialist title. It allowed me to encourage and inspire people that had cancer, that had lost loved ones, that were going through grief, that were going through trauma, that were having other health issues, that were having other family problems. Just by seeing me go through this, but still keeping a positive perspective on life, it encouraged them. And then, of course, that in turn encouraged me even all the more, because, you know, just being able to help other people comes back to you. And so what a blessing. What a blessing that was. That still is.
I'm sure it is. And you are an incredibly positive individual, despite all the challenges you faced. And you know, when you got that initial, you know, you've got cancer, which I'm sure is a real shock. I've never experienced it, fortunately. What, I suppose, there must have been other low moments along that journey as well. And I just wonder if you could share any of those moments where perhaps it was all going well or going positive and suddenly something else comes in. And how did you deal with that? And what were your things that might not have been in the moment, but certainly retrospectively, you did some strategies that perhaps helped you that now you use going forward?
Well, let me back all the way up to that July day when my wife looked at my foot, which is I had this growth on my foot, and I said, take a look at this. And I said, what do you think this is? She goes, I think it's a wart. And then about a month later, I told her, I said, yeah, I've been treating this, but I don't think it's a wart. And she goes, why? Because it's black and it's about the size of a quarter now. And that's when I went in and they biopsied it and said I had cancer. Well, at the beginning of that, I'm a super positive, upbeat guy. And they told me, well, we're going to cut out the cancer. We think we cut it early. You should be all good. But we're going to take one lymph node out, or a couple maybe, to see if it traveled anywhere. And so this melanoma that began on the bottom of my foot, they tracked where they thought it might go, and they took a lymph node out of my groin. And then the real hard moment next was a week later when the pathology report called back, and my doctor called and said, well, good news is we got all the cancer on your foot. And that was a major surgery. They had to reconstruct half my foot. But he said, but the bad news is we found more cancer in your groin. And so that was really tough. But after we made it through that, as I told you, I had to go through the treatments and more surgery. And the first treatment was a breeze. Like you said, ups and downs, right? First treatment, I wasn't having any side effects. Everything was great. I thought I was kicking it and all was going to be good until they tested me again. And lo and behold, they found more cancer. And so the choice was either more treatment with a different drug. I was doing immunotherapy, it's called, or another surgery. Well, both my surgeon and my other oncologist recommended go with the treatment. So I went with the treatment. My body rejected it, and it was horrible. I mean, every side effect you could get, I could check off. High fevers, throwing up sickness, rash on my body. I mean, it was just like one thing after the other. It was like a train wreck. And so they stopped that immediately. Well, then I was having issues all of a sudden with other things. Come to find out, the treatment also shut down my pancreas and created diabetes. So then I was suddenly a type 1 diabetic, went from not having to deal with those things to having to deal with diabetes, which to this day, and unless God chooses to heal me, it's going to be a lifelong journey. And so those things come out of it. And when those things happen, it's really hard because it's every little step you got to go through and try to figure this thing out. So this journey is a lifelong journey with cancer, but I'm always looking at coming out the other side and the good things, you know, that are coming from that. And that's what's important. Like for now, technology has given me a continual glucose monitor on my body and a insulin pump on my body. So it's my little external pancreas. And they do the work for me, and I don't have to inject or poke my fingers or do any of those things anymore, which is a blessing. So there's always good things ahead.
Yeah, and I like that attitude. Even then, at the end, you're saying there's always good things, and it's sometimes good to always look for the silver linings in life, because you know we do get difficulties, but there is always a glimmer of some silver lining or some hope or some sense of goodness that comes out, I think, a learning or a character thing that builds into us that makes us better human beings, which is obviously important to recognize in all this. And I'm sure you've transformed over that time. How did you deal with that fact that you had some treatment that actually then impacted you somewhere else, your pancreas, and made you now have sort of diabetes? And do you ever get that point where you think, why me? And some people might be listening right now and thinking, it feels very personal, this whether I've got cancer or I've just, my business has just gone to the wall, or I'm finding it really difficult in a workplace right now. Why is it me? What would be your advice to those sort of individuals who are feeling it's a bit like, it feels personal?
Well, first of all, I would think you need to work through that and realize you don't need to take it personal, but at first you do. I mean, at first it's disheartening, it's discouraging, it's frustrating. And I've gone through all those emotions. I mean, I am a positive guy, but I'm like everybody else, you know, going through emotions of life. I just don't live there. You know what I mean? I don't, in the bad times, I just don't stay there. But you know, it was my primary care physician, which is like a GP, general practitioner. He was helping manage my diabetes at first and all kinds of issues. I also had digestive issues that came out, and colitis that came out of the treatment. I had vertigo that I still have. That's horrible, debilitating. Like it shuts you down, and the whole world is spinning. I also had eye and ear problems, which I'm still dealing with. I just had eye surgery for double vision. And so he looked at me one time and said, "You're like the most unlucky guy that I know." He said, "Because all of these things happening to you, you didn't cause. Type 1 diabetes is your pancreas not working. It's not eating too much like type 2 diabetes. Usually it's caused by a little too much eating or other things, you know, that are affected by people's lifestyle." And I looked at him and I said, "You know what?" I said, I really don't feel unlucky. I said, "I really feel blessed because I've been able to move through this process with good doctors like you and with help along the way." I was able to, through, you know, certain different types of doctors, gastro doctors, take care of the colitis and the digestive issues. I had a ophthalmologist and an amazing surgeon who took care of my eye, and my eyesight is much better. You know, I'm going to an ENT, to a new one to deal with my ears next week. There's just been lots of positive things on the road, but it is tough when you go through each one. And probably the toughest thing for me is the vertigo and the diabetes, because sometimes you'll have like crazy blood sugar drops or things happening. Like right now, I'm thinking about this, and I need to take a look at my blood sugar all the time. And I have an app on my phone that tells me where I am. I'm currently at 121. That's where my blood sugar is. And it also has an arrow straight across, tells me things are good at the moment. You're kind of level and you're doing good, right? If you have an arrow straight down, or God forbid, a double arrow straight down, you're looking for trouble, because they say that high blood sugar can kill you slowly, but low blood sugar can kill you immediately. You can go into a coma and die. So you've always got to watch it. So those kind of things become really challenging and frustrating sometimes. Mm-hmm. My body is still trying to figure out this whole journey with diabetes and with the vertigo and all that. But I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm eating better because I have to watch my diet all the time. There's so many good things that have come out of that. And yes, it's still frustrating at times. But like I said, I choose to focus on the good parts and then just deal with the bad parts.
It seems to me, when you talk about how you're grateful for all the surgeons, doctors, everybody around you, that whole sort of gratitude piece, which we know that, you know, that it releases dopamine, serotonin. There's a physiological thing that goes on there, and then makes you feel more positive by being grateful. Is there anything that you do, and you might have been doing this already, but since you got diagnosed with cancer, is there any sort of rituals, anything you've put in place that enable that sort of positive attitude? Because it's not just about waking up and saying, "I want to be positive." It's there's other things you might do. I don't know. Do you have any things that you do or have taken or embraced since then?
Great question, Julian. Great question, because we have to practice being positive. We have to practice having a good perspective. We've got to work at the things in life, even if we're given a positive perspective. And, you know, honestly, I had a running head start, and some people are so much, you know, they have a more negative disposition, and they've had a rough childhood, and all kinds of negative things have happened in life, and they got a much tougher hill to climb than I. So they have to work even harder at it. But let me tell you that every day I work on good habits, right? I'm all about, you know, good habits displacing bad habits. I love James Clear, Atomic Habits, getting 1% better every day. What I do every morning, and it just happens to be in my book, Befuddled, Live the Life You Choose. Don't be befuddled, live the life you choose. And how do you do that? Before I get out of bed every morning, I do three things. Did this morning, do it every morning. And that is, first, I say how grateful I am, just like we're talking about. I'm so thankful, so blessed for God, for my beautiful wife, for my family, for all of that. I'm just thankful. Number two, I give myself a little pep talk. "Hey, you got this. You got this, Russ. It's all good. You know, today God is giving you the talents and abilities you need to move on and do what you have to do. You can do it." And then number three, I say, "Today's going to be awesome." And you may chuckle like everybody else does when I tell them I get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and they look at me and they say, "Yeah, that's not happening. Not saying today's going to be awesome at 4 a.m., you know?" And I'm saying, well, the reason I tell people what I do is not to say you should do exactly what I do, this is what I do to shape my mindset. This is what I do. And I practice to develop a positive attitude and a good perspective, because I can tell you, the minute I get out of bed and the worries of the day start grabbing a hold and I walk out that door and something negative happens, because life is not perfect, doesn't matter what you think, some negative things are going to happen. Your perspective on it is so much brighter. You walk out that door thinking positively, somebody tells you you have cancer, it's going to give you a whole lot more strength to be able to overcome that challenge than if you're already thinking, well, there we go, just my luck. I should have never thought, you know, don't want to get my hopes up, don't want to think anything positive. I'm just going to ride in this negative zone, right? And that's just not a good place to live.
No, and I like that, because you've got your feet firmly seated in reality on the ground, which I like about you about that. But you've got this, and I like the fact that you have set your intention to have an awesome day today. And it's about intention setting, because again, the psychological stuff that goes, if you set an intention to, well, example is if you stub your toe when you wake up in the morning and you go, oh no, I'm going to have a bad day today. You set a narrative and an intention to have a bad day, and our system will look for the confirmation bias of that, and we'll look for everything that's bad of the day, because that's how we work. And suddenly, you know, it's negative. So if you woke up every day and said, "Oh, I'm going to have a bad day today," lo and behold, you will have a bad day, because that's all you'll see. And I think there's a lesson in that of how we set our intentions. But also, I like the fact that you do every day. I mean, my ritual is I get up and I get straight into a ice bath. That's what I do. It's my way of bringing mindfulness, focus, getting my kickstart of dopamine, because it does do all that. And I just do it as a ritual. I literally get up, change into there, make my coffee along the way, get out, and then I have my coffee. And that's my morning routine. And I think it's something to be said of having some morning routine, whether it's 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter when it is. I'm not all into this a club of time of getting up in the morning, but it's all about setting the right intentions. You'll have a much better view and a much better life if you start doing that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my book, my first book I wrote there, talking about purpose and intention, chapter 2 is called Be Intentional, actually. And you know what? It's all about that. And I'm all about a morning routine. I even have, shameless plug, on LinkedIn, a LinkedIn newsletter weekly that comes out Mondays called But First Coffee. And yes, I love coffee, but a lot of it surrounds morning routine or mindset or how you approach your day in your life. And so subscribe to that if you haven't done that already. But the important thing of that is, I agree with you, you have to have a good morning routine, and that habit that I set my mindset and perspective that I just told you about starts my day. Then I get out of bed, and then I have a pretty detailed, for me, I'm not a super detailed guy, but a pretty detailed morning routine. I get up and I have time, quiet time, just to meditate and to pray and to do devotions. And I have journals. I journal. I started with one journal, and now I'm at like 4 journals, because they're all for different things in my life. I had to add on a medical journal just to keep track of all the things that were happening with me with that. But what it does is, I'm a verbal processor, as you can probably tell. So I process through life verbally. Sometimes my beautiful wife looks at me and she goes, "Are you talking to me?" No. I said, "Well, kind of, but I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out myself, and I'm just speaking it, right?" But I also process through writing. And so it helps me to put it down. It helps me to put my thoughts and my cares and my concerns on paper. And so I do that every morning, and then I exercise. And, you know, I made a commitment to that, a full commitment. So I'm going on this next birthday. I'm going to be 60 years old. I can't believe it. 60 years young. I mean, 60 years young. And I made a commitment to this probably, I don't know, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. I'm not sure, but I had done it off and on, but I went through those spurts like everybody does, like the New Year's resolution where you fire up, you do a bunch of exercise and some, you know, things in the morning, but then you stop and you sleep in and things don't go. So I decided that every day, I knew me personally, every single day, Christmas, New Year's, birthdays, travel, vacations, what didn't matter. Every single day, I was going to do my morning routine no matter what. And I have done that every single day, even through, even in the hospital, through the cancer surgeries, even through everything. I have maybe not done the exact same things, because clearly when you're in a hospital bed, you can't do lots of exercise, but you can lift your legs. You can do things with your arms. There's things you can do to get some motion and exercise. I always did something, and I didn't beat myself up if I couldn't do everything, right? I just kept going, but I kept that habit, and that habit carries me into the day and carries me into the week all the time and makes life so much better.
And keeping with the habits, is there anything you do? Well, firstly, if when you get some sort of shock news or something that throws you in that emotional, is there anything you do at that point? But also, do you finish your day in a particular way in terms of before you go to sleep? I don't know if you have any sort of a process there as well.
Yeah, good question. Yes. another thing that we added on, well, let me answer the first question. First question is, when my dad told me years ago, tomorrow's a new day, the habit I always have is to not let myself be overcome, but let myself go to bed, get some rest, and wake up in a new day and think about things with a new perspective. That's what really helps me remain positive. It's really tough sometimes in the moment, but in the moment also, normally, I start praying right off the bat, and I just try to breathe and keep myself calm and just let things happen. And, but also you got to, I think it's important not to suppress emotion and not, you know, say, because we're not always happy. It's not always good. We're not always happy. And so I think it's important to let that take place and then work through it, because I think we're healthier when we work through it. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that question, now I'm forgetting what the other part of the question was. What was part two of that question?
Any sort of evenings or closing down your day sort of rituals or habits?
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. It started with my kids years ago. And I don't know, I think it was my son, but I don't know. It was either my son or daughter. They said, hey, let's pray to start the day as a family. And then, hey, let's pray to end the day. So that became a family habit or ritual every day to pray. And my beautiful wife and I do it together. And if the family's around, they do it with us. Pray to start the day, pray to end the day. But also at the end of the day, I always do some reading. You know, right now, my daughter has been around a lot. So my wife and daughter and I have been reading scripture at night. I try to, if I also read some good books to learn more. And occasionally I throw in a good fictional book that just, you know, something that helps me wind down for the day. Mm-hmm. But I think the reading and the prayer at the end of the day is how I always end the day now.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, just, I suppose, one final question, because I'd like to get your understanding. Has your perspective on life changed since you got diagnosed cancer, or it's just evolved over time?
Yeah, a good question. I don't know if you would consider this changing or evolving. I think it was a change, and that is, I wrote about in Rattled Awake, my Rattled Awake moment. What rattled me awake that made me really change my perspective on things? I had always been a positive and inspiring guy, but when I had the cancer and your life and mortality is put before you, I suddenly realized, or I asked myself the question, am I really living what I believe? Am I really acting on what I believe? And so, I mean, I truly believed the things that I said. And, you know, this is after I wrote Befuddled and all that. I truly believe all of those things. But was I really acting on them? Was I really moving forward, inspiring other people? Was I being an inspiration specialist, or was I just saying that to make myself look good? You know, I mean, really hard questions. Like, is this just about me, what I'm saying, or am I really doing this for others and to inspire others? And I think that was my moment where I thought, no, I'm not really doing it like I should. I'm not really acting on it like I should. I'm not really moving forward like I should. And that is when I actually started sharing my cancer journey online. And I don't know if you saw any of those posts, but the first post I made, one on LinkedIn and one on Facebook, because Facebook's kind of like family and local people. And LinkedIn to me is my worldwide community, right? Yeah. And everybody was just, that knew anything about it, was just questions constantly. So I thought, I really need to just put out a little statement and let people know what's happening. But at the same time, I thought, I'm going to use this to inspire people, to encourage people, to tell them that God is not done with me yet. That's how I always ended everyone. God's not done with me yet. That I've got so much life to live. That I've got so much to do moving forward. And then I'm keeping a positive perspective in spite of what I'm going through. And I said, and I know that all of you are going through things too. Different than me. Some may be health, some may be something else. I had a really good friend that just lost her husband to suicide after being married for many years and have children. He was in the military and just never really recovered from that. And just committed suicide. Those things are horrible, but it's not to say those things aren't horrible and aren't terrible, but that you can move through those, not past them, because I think if you skip over them, you repress that and you don't deal with that emotion. You got to move through that. And then you come out on the other side and there's always hope and a brighter day on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been great having you on the show, Russ. It's been inspiring and lovely hearing your perspective and your change in perspective on life, but also the lessons you've learned and how you keep yourself positive. You know, it's not just, oh, I'm positive. Actually, you work at that, and it's something you have to work hard at and put the spade work in of habits on a daily basis. And I like that. I think that's refreshing rather than say you're just a positive person. Yes, you might have more of a bias to more positive than most, but you still have to work hard at it, particularly what you faced. And it's great to hear how you overcame all that. If people want to connect with you, get in touch with you, how might best way to do that?
So the best way, RussHedge.com, super simple. It's my one stop. RussHedge.com has links to all of my social media, my live streams, my books, everything is on there. You can get all my books on Amazon too, but you can just link through RussHedge.com for everything. I also have a free download PDF that is really free. And it's all about connection. It's called Transform Your Business in 3 Simple Steps. Click on that. It'll teach you about connection and community building. And then also, it does also sign you up for my encouraging morning emails, which, by the way, I'm not your average email list. I am really trying to encourage and inspire you. That's all you're going to get from me, along with just a few links if you want to go back to my page or look at anything at the bottom. But all the content of the email is just about inspiring and encouraging people. And I just want to leave everybody with that what Julian said is so true. You've got to work at it. Life is not always easy. But I can tell you, each one of you watching, that God's not done with you yet. And there's so much for you to do. And you need to take care of that moment, because we don't know how many moments we have left. So live in the future and live in the present and be present today.
Brilliant. Thank you, Russ. Thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Julian. Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. If you like this episode, then please rate, review, and share it with your friends and colleagues. As a coaching practice, I coach high-performing leaders and teams with extreme ambitions. And it'll help you go beyond what you believe is possible. If this sounds like you, then let's have a conversation. You can contact me at julianrobertsconsulting.com.